What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Project Danu podcast, where we're on a mission to show that anybody can scale anything through organic content. Just a couple weeks ago at the end of 2023, I started all of my socials back from scratch and posting a ton on all of the platforms. So guys, this is episode one of the podcast. So if you're here right now, it is not too late to be an OG. So be sure to stay tuned and follow along for the journey. But guys, I'm freaking pumped right now because I got an extra special guest for the first episode, my guy Thomas, all the way from the U.S. here out in Colombia. I'm from the U.S. too. It's just very exciting. But dude, this guy will not need an introduction like this anytime soon. He is a master connector. What a lot of people claim to be in certain areas, claim to be the top of their field in the connecting world and the networking. But this guy's truly done it because when I got here, I'd never even met this guy before. Like, we had texted back and forth like three times. This dude hooks me up with a VIP driver, invites me to two masterminds, gets me on a podcast within like 12 hours of knowing the guy. So like, this dude's a beast. And Thomas, bro, thanks for joining us. I'm so happy to have you here as the first guest.
Absolutely. Danny, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm pumped to be part of episode one. It's honor, absolute privilege. So thank you.
Let's go, dude. So Medellin, Colombia, You told me a couple days ago that you now consider this your home. Yeah. Tell the audience where you're from and what got you out here in the first place, man.
Yeah. So originally from Michigan. Grew up there, you know, all the way until probably late 20s before I started kind of traveling around and exploring the world.
Let's go.
So grew up in the cold, and then, yeah, around, I want to say it was probably 21, 22, I decided, okay, I want to explore. I set the goal. I want to be location independent.
Mm.
Achieved that, started traveling, went inside the U.S., traveled around, and then I came to Colombia.
Let's go.
And Colombia, I was only supposed to be here for a week, but then it turned into three months. Because this place is just, you land here and it's so hard to leave. There's so many things about Colombia that you just can't, it's like, I can't even believe this is real life. Like, this is the perfect place. The weather, the quality of life, plus how cheap it is, the ratio to quality of cost is just insane. Time zone, it's close to the U.S., close to Miami, so it's not far flight if you want to go back. Culture, people, I mean, just the list goes on. Nature, everything, it's just amazing. So I was here for 3 months, traveled some more, and then I wanted to stay in one place and start a community, and this was the number one spot.
Let's go.
I'm back.
What other spots did you visit too? Like, so Colombia, Medellin was the first one you went to.
Medellin was the first, yeah.
And then you went where after that?
I went to, I went to Germany from there. It was mostly in Europe. So Germany, I went to the UK. I went to Croatia, Poland, Turkey, just a bunch of different places over there. And then I just got burnt out. I was actually supposed to continue my trip.
Really?
Go to Dubai and like a bunch of other places. But I just, it just like, when you go from one city to the next every couple weeks, especially by yourself, you get burned out and you have no community really, because you're landing, you don't know anyone, then you might meet some people, but then you land somewhere else and you don't know. So it's just a reset every single time. And so eventually you just hit this point where it's like, yeah, I just feel lonely and you're like, man, I need to just kind of stay in one place. And that's exactly what happened to me. So I went back home and then I put a plan together. I was like, okay, where's the number one spot? It's a no-brainer. It's Medellin. So
Medellin's the best.
Came back, and now I'm coming up on 2 years here full time. So.
Let's go, dude. That's awesome. So I love what you said, like community and like traveling around the world, like nomad status.
Yeah.
No community, no people that you could go to each city and just like link up with. How did you start that here in Medellin? Because for those of you that don't know, Thomas has built up an insane network here in Medellin, like to the point where somebody can fly in, and if they're a part of this curated community, can just instantly be more connected in this city than anywhere else. And that's something that I've experienced firsthand over this past week. So like, how did you get started with that? Like, what was the first step you took to start building your network here in a foreign country?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Really, it just started with an intention. That was the initial thing that started it. Is I came, like I said in my story, I was lonely, came back home, and I was like, okay, I want to stay in one place. So I set the intention. I said, hey, I want to go somewhere and I want to build a community. I want to align myself with like-minded men. At the time, it was specifically men because I was also going through a breakup. So it was just a little catalyst for that. So I had that intention when I came here, and I just looked up on, you know, WhatsApp groups, Facebook groups. I found a men's circle, so I went to that, and I just shared my intention. I said, hey, guys, I'm here. I'm planning on being here for a long time, and I just want to align myself with other men and other people that are on the same path, doing the same thing, you know, wanting to kind of like personal development type people. And I just set that intention out there and shared it and talked about it. And from there, just kind of met one person who introduced me to this person. And it just grew from there. So it was just like one conversation at a time, one person at a time. And, you know, over the course of almost 2 years, I've been able to build an incredible network.
Hell yeah, bro. So it started with like a Facebook group. So you'd made a post in a Facebook group, got connected with a few people, and then those few people turned into more mm-hmm. people who turned into more people yeah. who turned into all of a sudden like, wow, I'm ridiculously connected.
Exactly. So
for somebody watching this, because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs in the space, myself included, they know that their network is their net worth. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when it comes to networking, we can get like paralyzed. Like we see somebody at an event or we're getting introduced to someone and we get like super nervous.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to somebody that knows their network is their net worth, but mm-hmm. something's holding them back from just connecting with a lot of people and yeah. introducing themselves?
Well, one thing I'll share is that I was that same person. I was scared to go out and introduce myself and go to these events and like put myself out there and be vulnerable. And I was also very awkward too. Like way back, I was like an introvert. I still probably am, but I've developed and grown a lot, and I'm a lot more comfortable interacting with strangers and that sort of thing. I would just say everyone is afraid. Like when you meet someone new, like we're all human. Like everyone has the same fears. So just realize that everyone in that same room also has those same thoughts, have those same fears as you do. And it's not that no one doesn't have them. It's just they do have them and they actually take an action, you know? So it's just doing something you're afraid of. And for me, like I had that to the point where I set an intention that I was going to meet a stranger every single day and take a picture to document my journey. And I did that a couple years ago. And that's what helped me a lot, like among other things. But that's one of the things that helped me kind of get out of my own way because I was just afraid. When I would, like the first month or first 2 months of doing that, I was just so awkward. Like I can just like, I almost cringe thinking about it. Like, hey, hi, how are you? Do you want to take a picture? Like, it's just very awkward. But over time, after repetition and doing it every single day, I got so good at it that I could convince people to take a picture with me, like 100% success rate,
wow.
like a complete stranger. And it's just do it. Just go out there. And yeah, don't be so serious. Like, so what if you mess up? Like, no one cares. Like, I still stutter. I still make mistakes, but doesn't mean that I'm not credible or doesn't mean that I can't bring value or whatever. Those are just beliefs that are holding you back. So
they're just beliefs that are holding you back and getting out of your own way.
Yeah.
So would you say that like making that challenge to yourself of I'm going to take a picture with one stranger every day helped you like get over that hump where there was like a tangible thing that you could do where it wasn't like the goal is to meet strangers. The goal is to take one picture with a stranger every single day. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot more specific that you can just do. You either do it or you don't do it.
Yep.
So do you think that played a big role? And like somebody listening to this, like would you recommend them doing the same thing? Or do you have other actionable Absolutely. Steps that people could take?
Absolutely. That's like the easiest thing to do because
I might do
you see strangers all the time. And I did it partially while I was in Colombia for the 3 months. So I was in the States and then I was in Colombia. Then I was in Germany and like everywhere else. And then I ended the year in the States and I could even like pull up on my phone all the pictures. You should see the slideshow of like every single 365 days. And not every wow. person that I talked to would say yes, of course. So it was a lot more than one person a day at the end of the year. But yeah, I would say, you know, if you're someone, and that's why I did it, is to overcome that fear and just become a better communicator. But it's an easy thing to do. You don't have to take the picture part. It's just kind of cool to have and look back on. So that's why I did that, and to document it as well. It's
a way to measure it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a way to measure it. And then and in the year, you have that, and you're like, wow, like, look at all these people I had. And I've actually met some really cool people that I had, like, great conversation. It wasn't just like, hey, let me get a picture. Boom, okay, thanks. Like, yeah. Sometimes it would be shorter, but sometimes I'd end up having, like, a 30-minute conversation.
Wow.
and we'd have this connection, and we'd like share a moment with each other, and it was amazing. So
because that stuff doesn't happen. I feel like everyone wants it to happen to them, but no one wants to go out and make it happen. Like everyone wants to meet new people. Everyone would love it if like that girl that was at the cafe like came up to them and started talking to them, but they don't want to be the one to make that move. Mm-hmm. So it's just knowing that, like you said, like everyone's thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just be the one that takes the action and starts to go forward with that. That's awesome, dude. I love that. Sweet. I might start doing that with the picture today.
Dude, I recommend it. Like even some of the people that I talk to, they're like so inspired. They're like, you know what? I'm actually going to start doing this.
Let's go.
Like I had like, I think two different people tell me, they're like, you know, I'm so inspired by you doing this and talking to me and having this conversation with me that I'm actually going to do this now.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, my communication skills improved so much and it just became like a habit, and my fear of talking to strangers and approaching strangers literally vanished. Like probably took 3 months.
3 months.
3 months. And I was like, good. I was not afraid at all. It was just like
from like full introvert.
Full introvert to like, okay, I can literally any situation anywhere, doesn't matter. I can go and have a conversation with anyone. And I just felt like really confident with my social skills after
that.
Let's
go. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would encourage it. Anyone listening to this, I would encourage, you know, even if you're already someone you consider that's a good communicator, it's still, you can always improve.
Yeah.
And you only improve by doing, right?
I consider myself a decent communicator. I still get so scared, like, when there's people, like, that I could potentially talk to and, like, going to walk up to them. Like, it never gets easier, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, you still have the fear. Like, I still have the fear sometimes, for sure. So it's not that it's going to disappear forever and always in every situation. It's just that you just get used to doing it even when you feel it, you know? It's just like a default mode. Like, you're like, okay, here's a person. I'm going to just keep walking towards them and say hi. And that's it.
Just making yourself do the right thing.
Yeah. Just taking action, executing.
So taking it from strangers to high-level people. Obviously, strangers can be high-level people. Yeah. But, like, when you're in an environment where there's a bunch of high-level people around, whether it's a networking event, a mastermind, a certain area where there's a lot of people to meet that are going to be high-level, how do you network with them? Because some of the big fish that I've met, like, they didn't want to be networked with at the time. Like, they're there to solve one problem, and they get people that are coming up to them. How do you get that connection with that person, even if they don't want to, if they're, like, higher up? Because, honestly, the people that are higher up, they don't want to network as much.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that can be also another limiting belief. Like, people who are higher up, And that's just like a perspective too, because we're all human. We're all the same. We're all going to die. Like, we're all equal, you know. Maybe someone has more money, or maybe someone has more experience in X, Y, and Z, but you literally can learn anything from anyone. So it doesn't, like, but there is some truth to what you're saying. Like, some people who are at a certain level, as far as business goes, if they're focused on business, they're not going to want to spend time with someone who is just getting started in business.
Bro, dismantle my beliefs. Like, please, you're way better than I.
So I would say, like, if you're looking to connect with people who are high level, it really fundamentally, and this is for anyone, not even high level, it fundamentally boils down to one thing, and just be someone who's likable. Be someone who everyone likes. And how do you do that? Well, it's simple. You just live by values. Just living by values. Be someone who keeps their word. If they say they're going to do something, actually do it. You know, deliver more than what's expected. Just like basic values that they teach in like elementary, or you can Google online. If you're someone who people like, it's gonna allow you to network way more. Because if someone doesn't like you, like, it's gonna be hard to network. So how do you make people like you? Well, there's a great book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a great book. I won't like go through a list of a ton of things, but read that book. It has so many good pieces of advice and stories that you can use and implement. Just like smiling more, talking about not yourself but other people, actually listening. That's a huge one. Most of us are just like kind of listening, waiting for the person to stop and then to talk.
You just have your point ready to go.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, when is this guy going to stop? And then I'm just going to spit out like whatever, right? So just like basic, just be like a good person that people like, follow values. That's the first thing.
It's like a win-win too, because you feel better about yourself too when you're a good person. You're doing the right thing. Like, you hit the pillow at night and it feels better when you're when you're living by morals and doing the right thing.
Yeah.
The story in Think and Grow Rich, though, I don't know if you remember this one. I think it's the best book of all time, personally. It was a story about how the author had met up with the guy that runs like the botanical garden. Doesn't know anything about the gardens. He just lets the guy talk about his gardens for 2 hours. And he got like maybe two sentences out the whole time for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And the guy that ran the garden ended up telling everybody that the author was like a great communicator. And he was a great conversationalist. Yeah. When in reality, the guy was just talking about himself the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And I think it's so easy to let other people talk about themselves too. Everyone wants to.
Yeah. Just find out like, you know, what is Danny interested in? What is John interested in? And then talk about what they're interested in and let them tell you everything about it and ask questions and actually be interested. Don't just like do it to because we're saying you should do it. Like actually just become more interested because it is interesting. Everything's interesting.
If you make it.
Yeah. If you're like paying attention, you just like stop. You just kind of focus in and stop like being distracted by all this nonsense in your head. And you're like, wow, horses. Wow, I didn't know horses were so smart. Like, they do all these, like, you look at any topic or anything, like, you can become very fascinated about it.
You just actually care about it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You asked me a really good question the other night at the Mastermind. And you say you ask it to everybody when it comes to, like, meeting high-level people and getting connected and getting in the circle of people. What was that question? And, like, how would you frame that to somebody new hearing it for the first time, and how can they apply it to themselves?
Yeah, so fundamentally, you're just trying to find out, when you want to go back to connecting to high-level people and networking with them, you want to find out what do they want, how can you bring value to them, right? Thanks. Because if you're just approaching, let's say you see someone, let's just say you use Danny. We'll use you, for example.
Let's go. Okay?
You see Danny, he's got like 2 million followers on this social podcast. Media. Not yet. Yeah. Not yet. Maybe by the time you're watching this, we'll see. But someone who's got a lot of followers, right? And it's kind of like, oh, I want to like connect with him. If you reach out to him and be like, hey, Danny, like huge fan, like I'd love to like talk with you. Let's grab a coffee. You know, you probably get like 1 million of those, right?
A lot.
But if you get a message from someone who's like, hey, Danny, I got a podcast and we got 1 million subs or active listeners or whatever. I'd love to have you on. Like, that's a value to you because now you're connecting with the audience. Now, I understand not everyone has a podcast with 1 million people. So there's more than one way to do that. But essentially, you're coming at it in a unique way. So another example would be a lot of video editors. They'll be like, hey, love your content. I can take it to another level. Hit me with a DM and I can help you.
I actually get 50 of those a day.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. What if someone took your content, edited it, and then posted and tagged you and didn't even message you? And then you'd be like, wow, that would get your attention.
Yeah, that's how I'm working with the editor that's actively going to clip these up and edit this podcast right now too.
There
he like
go.
Closed me in the DMs. He was like, hey, bro, like, would you be interested in a free piece of work? Love your content. Think it's super informative. Like, if not, like, just take this as a compliment. Like, if you're not interested.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I'm getting 50s. I think I was, like, half asleep or just, like, waking up in the morning. I text him. I was like, sure, bro. Whatever you need to do. I could barely just kind of brush it off.
Yeah.
And then he sends me one back. He took a screen recording of my video, blurred out the captions because I had no content up with no captions on it. So we like blurred out the caption. I could tell he did a really good job with it. He sent it to me. I was like, all right, dog, like I'm actually in the market editor right now. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So
he gave you value, and that's like the key. So you have to find out what do people want. And there's a lot of ways to do that. One of the questions that I asked, kind of going back to the original question you asked, is like, okay, I'll ask like, what are you working on? What kind of things are you focused on? What projects are you doing? And because you don't want to go straight in and be like, hey, what's your biggest problem?
For the kill.
Yeah. You know, that's like, whoa, dude, like, we just met. Like, I don't know, like, you right now. You
hey,
know?
Man, nice to meet you. What's your biggest problem?
Yeah. So you have to be more, make it more casual, especially with these kind of guys. You don't want to be so direct on that sort of thing. But eventually just figure out, and it could be a question, something like, you know, what's something that you're working on? And then you figure out what they're working on and be like, oh, okay, like, are you looking to connect with anyone? Actually, I know this guy. Maybe you'd be interested in meeting him. Just find a way to bring value. Mm. And that's how you connect. Because if you're always taking, it's hard to like develop that network. But if you're always giving, then people are going to like you and they're going to want to be around you and like introduce you to other people because they know like this guy actually delivers value.
Mm.
You know?
So what I'm getting from this, for someone that doesn't have a huge base or a huge network already, mm-hmm. two ways that they can provide value to high-level people is using their skills for free and giving them away to the people, mm-hmm. and connecting them with someone who may be able to help them that's also high-level. So yeah. like, there's no monetary value that's in play here. It's just you're using your skills and you're using your network, and you're not asking for anything in return. You're just giving it to the high-level person. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just deliver value and don't do it in a way that you're expecting something in return.
That's you a know? Key. I always say, like, yeah, I want to hear your opinion on this too. I always say that, like, humans have insanely good bullshit detectors. Like, when someone has the wrong intentions, like, even if they charismatically said everything perfectly, like, people will be able to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. So the hack behind that is just actually have the right intention.
Just be genuine.
Yeah.
Just be authentic. It's going back to just be someone everyone likes. In any relationship, the number one rule is being authentic. Mm. Doesn't matter if it's business, it could be like a girlfriend, boyfriend, it could be just like a friend, whatever. Just be authentic. People are going to like you more. Because that actually shines through and people see that. And you're not, like, trying to be someone else. Like, the only person you can be the best person is you.
Bingo. You know?
So, yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it. You talk about Think and Grow Rich. Not Think and Grow Rich. You talk about How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's mm-hmm. two, like, all-time classics to get me in my head a little bit. You're a big reader.
Absolutely.
I want to hear two book recommendations. One, for the person that's hearing this that's brand new to entrepreneurship. That, you know, they think that they want to jump into the space, but their mindset still needs a little bit of rewiring. One book for that person, and then another book for a person that is starting to do well. They're starting to maybe hit like 8, 9, 10K a month. They're getting into it and they want to scale it. What's a book for that person too?
Great question. I would say a lot of books, but
just I mean, two. Dude, if you have a bunch of them, like,
just two, I'll stick to just two, and maybe I'll have some extras to add on. But for someone just starting, this is what I started with: mind hacking. It's called mind hacking. It's what started like my whole reading and my journal and like everything. And it's literally for like changing your mindset. Mm. It's mind hacking. It's like, and it's kind of nerdy too, because it talks about like programmers and like changing code and how that's similar to changing like your thoughts and your mind. So that's a great book. It's not super popular. Not a lot of. I mean, it's pretty popular, but not. It's not like a huge book like Think and Grow Rich. You know. That's a great one. And then someone who's already starting to get successful, there's so many books for both of these, but I would say the first one that came to mind would be The One Thing. And The One Thing is all about focus. And it talks about how there's priorities, but there's only one thing that you can do that's going to make the biggest difference. And the summary of that book is in one question, and it's this question: what one thing can you do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? So you ask yourself that, you figure out what that is, and you block out 4 hours every day just to do that one thing. And it's like a domino effect. You do that every day, you stack up the dominoes, and by the end of the year, you're going to be soaring. Your momentum is going to be so high.
So you pick the one thing, and then make sure you do it for 4 hours every day.
Yep.
I feel like that's so killer, because like everyone knows the stuff they need to be doing. Like they need to be doing, like the actions they need to be taking. It's just a lack thereof doing it.
Actually doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, there's two problems in the world: intention deficit, so people are doing things without a clear intention, and attention deficit. Mm. People are always like on their phone and switching tasks. And when you switch a task like 15 minutes, it literally takes you 15 minutes to regain full focus. So when you're in that, like when you're ever in a flow state, that's when you're like, you're just so into your work or so into whatever. You could be playing a game or sports or whatever. You're so into it. And then like 3 hours go by and you realize you're starving. You have to use the bathroom and you're like, whoa, where'd all the time go? And that only happens when you're like fully focused. You have no distractions and you're just like all in. And that's what the one thing, time blocking out, even if it's 2 hours, like most people can't sit down for 2 hours, even like 90 minutes. And just do one thing. And if you think about what's the most important thing, and then you also do that for a long chunk of time every day, I mean, the amount of work you'll get done if you just apply that for 5 days, for 1 week, you'd be like, wow, I just achieved more in these 5 days than I did the entire last month. Like it's really powerful when you actually put it to practice.
Yeah, dude, you got me thinking about it too, because I got like on my notes and stuff like all the things I need to do throughout the day and like time for this, ding, mm-hmm. ding. Sometimes like half of it doesn't end up getting done.
Right.
So you use the time blocks where it's like, what does that look like tangibly? Like 2 hours here doing this, 2 hours there doing this. Like what does an average day look like for you? Like for example of time blocking.
Yeah. So for me, I structure. I have a morning and night routine. So I have like the end caps of my day, and what I say is,
can you go into what those are?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. But what I say is like as long as I start and end the day with my routines, it doesn't matter what happens in between if it's all shit. Like I still ended and started the day good, so like I know everything's good. For me, I'm a bit extreme, so I'm actually doing a challenge called 75 Hard.
Let's go.
Which is it's a challenge where you do a lot of stuff, you work out, read and stuff. So for me, right now I wake up, I do a meditation, and then I work out twice for 45 minutes, one time outside, and then the other time usually in the gym.
Part of the 75 Hard, by the way.
Which is part of 75 Hard.
One outside workout, one inside workout.
Exactly. So I get those done like first thing, because if I wait, then I know that it's going to suck. I'm going to be tired. Knock those out, and then from there, I usually get straight to work. I'll shower and then get to my one thing. And the one thing is, and it's part of the entrepreneur house that we do every night with the guys at the house. We're like, okay, what's the one thing? We share it with each other so we have the accountability. Mm-hmm. And we also talk about, did we do the one thing yesterday? And we also do it for like, what's the one thing this week? What's the one thing this month? So we have like the long-term vision, and then we break it down to chunks. So that's like my morning. And then a lot of stuff will happen. So after the one thing, then just kind of whatever, like I'll have like a to-do list that I'll just start like knocking things out. Depending on the day, like what's happening. I spend a lot of time on the phone and a lot of time like meeting with people, because that's what I'm focused on. Yeah. It's networking. So you got to be out, you got to be talking to people, you got to be meeting people.
More
so,
hands you shake, more bands you make.
Exactly. So that's how I spend a lot of my time. And then the end of the night, I usually read. Sometimes I read in the morning or midday, but I'll usually end the day reading and just kind of reflecting and planning the next day. So mm-hmm. that goes back to the one thing. You know, I'll go through this list of questions just mentally. I'll say, okay, what did I do? Who did I see? What did they say? How did I feel? You know, what did I learn? And then I'll say, okay, great. Now what am I going to do tomorrow? What's the one thing tomorrow?
Mm.
And then that's pretty much it. It's a very short, like 5 minutes. Thing. I might journal a little bit, like if things come up, if I want to write on reflection, whatever. And yeah, that's pretty much my like day-to-day schedule.
Let's go.
Generally speaking.
One thing. That's nice. I like that. I'm gonna take that. But I'm going to start figuring out like what the one thing is throughout the day. But I'm curious for you, and I'll give a quick background because we'll get into this a little bit later. We're going to do it more deeper.
Okay.
Thomas founded the Entrepreneur House, which is a community here in Medellin where people can fly in. We do a lot of masterminds. Some people even stay in the house and like really stay on top of their game. I'll let you explain it more in a second. Sure. But that's what Thomas is into for the most part right now. It's the main focus. Doing all of that, what was your one thing today, this week, and this month?
Great question. Yeah. One thing this week? One thing this month is content. One thing this week was promoting and getting people signed up for an event I have the 13th.
February 13th.
And
Medellin.
The one thing today was also that. So today I spent, literally I have like 100 messages on WhatsApp. Mm. I got to go through and like just reply. And like I've just been on the phone all day like talking to people and like just catching up with them, seeing how they're doing, seeing what's happening, and letting them know that I have an event coming up and seeing if they're able to attend.
Wow,
so that's my one thing today, and knocked it out. I still got a lot to do, but it's the one thing this week. So.
Bro, good looks for coming on the podcast, bro. This dude has mad stuff going on today. He takes a full hour out of his day to come hang out here, dude. That's beast. I appreciate that even more now.
100%.
So what about this month? This month is
the content.
The content.
So
right.
Yeah, being here is part of that. Creating content. It's all revolved around the house. So that's like the main focus is, how do I create content so that people can hear about and know about? Because when I talk to people, they're like, dude, the house is like that, this idea is insane, like I'm down.
Yeah.
Like when's the next one?
Yeah,
you know, so I just need more people to know about it, and I think content's a really good way to do that. So that's the one thing for this month, and obviously we're at the house, so like just all focus on creating content for the house, creating content for promoting the future house. Which will be in April. April 1st is the date. So I'm excited for the next one. But yeah,
let's
just
go.
Focus on this moment and this day, one thing at a time. And yeah.
Let's go. So I want to hear from you, and I know the viewers do too, now that I just kind of gave it like that super, super brief rundown. Like, what is the Entrepreneur House? Why did you start it? And where are you looking to take it?
Yeah, the Entrepreneur House, it's like you said, it's a place for entrepreneurs, male entrepreneurs, to go and co-live and mastermind together for a month-long experience. Mm. So it's all immersive. We're in the same house, in the same penthouse. We got a chef, we got a maid. Very streamlined, like, lifestyle with all the luxury items that anyone could imagine in the best place in the world, Medellin, Colombia. And yeah, we're focused on, like, how do we level up? Like, how do we all level up together? Like, in our health, in our business, in our relationships. You know, I introduce everyone to in the house, everyone to my community that I know here, with the coolest people that I know. We have awesome events. We have networking. We have masterminds. You know, we're doing challenges with our health and fitness. So it's just like an incubator where you can really maximize your productivity and, like, reach like your max potential, essentially. And to have other guys that are with you on the same path and hold you accountable as well.
Accountability is so big.
Accountability and community. That's the reason why I created it. Because I wanted to have that community. And that's the best. Like, if you're in a house living together, we have our own bedroom, we have our own bathroom, like, yeah, we have our own space, but we're close enough where, and far enough where, like, everyone's just, like, beaming, like, in the house. Everyone's so productive. Like, I was talking to Joel, who's part of the house, and he flew in from Bali to join. And he literally tells me, dude, the first 2 weeks being here and the people you've introduced me to, I've met more than the 2 years I've lived in Bali, which is just mind-blowing.
Joel, if you're listening to this, bro, I'm going to one-up you. Thomas introduced me to more people in the first 2 days I was here than the last year I lived in Miami.
That's crazy. So,
basically, what Thomas is trying to say is that he has a community down here that you could literally fly in if you know this guy and be more well-connected in this city than probably any other city in the world within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
100%.
It's crazy. So what's the vision moving forward? Like, obviously, we want to help as many up-and-coming entrepreneurs as we can in order to, like, incubate them, get better financially, physically, spiritually, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Where do you see this in, like, 5, 10, even, like, 20 years? Like, what's the gnarly vision behind this? I know you have one.
I love that. 10 years. 10 years is the farthest I've kind of, like, projected out. 10 years, I'd love to have it so there's houses all around the world. Like, it's a place where entrepreneurs can – I don't know what the model will be at that point, but maybe it's a membership, maybe it's, like, you apply, I don't know. But there's going to be a few different bases. There's definitely home bases, Medellin, always
will
be.
Of course.
But there'll be bases in, let's say, Argentina, Brazil, Europe, Asia, you know, all over the map, Miami, maybe even some of the states, where you can go and it's like, I want to travel and see the world, but I also want to be plugged into community. Because that, for me, that was, like, my problem. I wanted to travel and see the world, but now all of a sudden I don't have the community piece. So if I could do best of both worlds, where you literally land, you know where everything is, you have the best contacts, you have the best services, you're living with the coolest guys, you're in the community, there's events happening, everyone's super, like, super high level. Like, everyone's lifting each other, and you just feel like it's home as soon as you land. That would be the ultimate goal. So that's pretty much what I see it happening in the next 10 years and where it's going.
Yeah, and I feel like it breaks the stereotypes a lot too, especially in Medellin, because, like, I'm coming from America, I have a family that loves me, and they go, oh, wow, watch out.
Yeah.
Like, keep an eye on all fours, like, you're going into Colombia. That was one thing I wanted to ask you too, because you've been all over the place. What would you say to that person, because you're from America too, that their family is on them a little bit, oh, you don't want to go out to a second world country, you don't want to, maybe be safe, he sends you this, like, justice.gov article that it's dangerous, like, be safe. What would you say to that person to push them over the edge and be like, dog, like, just make it happen?
Yeah, I would just say it's all, like, blown out of proportion. It's just all nonsense. Like, I like, any of the news, and I think we were talking about this last time, like, the world is way more safer than it's been, like, 50 years ago or 100 years ago. But the problem is that we hear about everything. Like, if a plane crashes across the other side of the world, literally we'll hear about it like that.
Oh, you have all the bad things is what you hear
and
about.
You only hear about the bad things too. So it's like, it's just blown out of proportion. You watch the news and it's like murder, murder, murder. But then it's like, okay, well, one in, like, a couple million people get murdered.
Dude.
So it's like, what are the actual odds or what are the actual chances? And it's very, very, very low. And if you're someone who's smart, there's like, I've been here for 2 years. I know people have been here way longer than me. Never any issues. Just be smart. Don't be someone who's dumb going out at like, you know, 3 a.m. by yourself with a Rolex on. Like,
yeah, come on.
Then you're asking for it, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's a really safe place. Like, I've never felt in any situation where I was like, I was uncomfortable or anything bad happened to me. So yeah, I think I think what I would say is like, if you actually want to do it, just like, just do it. Get your ticket. Like,
get
what are you
your
waiting
ticket.
For?
That's right.
Have your passport, and then all you need is a flight.
You hear about the 1 in a million people that have a problem, but you don't hear about the millions of users daily that are ordering stuff on Rappi for $2 and getting it delivered right away.
That's one of the craziest things. Is like, everyone here delivers food on a motorcycle, which is like badass.
Yeah.
It comes to you really fast, and it's so cheap. Dude, and it's really good.
Dude, I was ordered food last night. So if you're in America, listen, so you got the DoorDash, you want to order one thing, you're in for minimum $15. You could order like a order fries on McDonald's, like $15.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
We order like 8 hot dogs. It's 4 for each, like last night, just to have some food. And I pay for the extra turbo delivery, so it gets there right away. And it was like $14.
Yeah.
Tip included.
It's crazy.
Service fee included. And I pick it up with a huge smile on my face. Like, that's just not the stuff you hear about in countries like this. Because I was getting blown up with texts before I got here. Because I've been here for a week. I was getting blown up with texts. Oh, be careful, be careful. You sure you want to actually go there? Mm. No one told me about Rappi. How fast the food gets there.
Rappi's one of the best. Rappi's one of the best things. And they have a feature called, which I think is what you're talking about, called Turbo.
Yeah.
Which literally guarantees that whatever you order, you'll get in 10 minutes.
Dude, it's crazy.
You can order anything, like toilet paper, toothpaste. condom, like, dude, anything, literally anything.
The essentials.
Alcohol, yeah, the essentials. Food, and it'll get there in 10 minutes, which is just, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah. Point I'm trying to make, though, and I know you are, too, is just this place is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it gets such a bad rep. It's an amazing place, amazing people. I've lived in Brooklyn. I've lived in Miami. I've been to L.A. plenty of times. I feel safer on the streets of Medellin than in any three of those.
Yeah. No, honestly, like, when I'm in Miami compared to Medellin, sometimes I feel way safer in Medellin, Colombia, which people consider, like, a dangerous place than in United States, America, and Miami, which is just, like, completely flips the script on all these people who are saying it's dangerous.
Moral of the story is you got to do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Get the flight. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, just go on right now as you're listening. Yeah. Google flights. Don't even get a two-way. One way.
One way is all that's necessary.
One way, and then you decide whenever you want to come back, you can get the other one way.
Yeah, Thomas, bro. I know it's been, and I'll say this because we were talking about this in the elevator when we were here like a week ago. You were like, yep, you know, everyone comes for a week or 5 days or so and then isn't sure when they're going back.
Yeah.
Been looking at options to live here and like offices and stuff after 1 week.
Dude, I love
here. And like, they've passed all of the like logical barriers where it's not like an emotional choice. It just makes sense, but it's also like, this place is just dope.
Yeah. So,
I gotta ask, bro, last question. One piece of advice for 16-year-old Thomas. He's listening right now. There's someone just like you that feels like introverted. They don't know what they want to do, where they want to go. They're listening to this and they're ready for some wise words that's going to change the course of their life. Let's hear it.
That's a lot, man. When I was 16, and just thinking back, I don't know. I would just say, like, go out more, and don't be so serious.
Mm.
Don't be so serious, and yeah, just follow your dreams.
Hell yeah!
Like, believe in yourself. Do things you're afraid of, and don't be so serious.
Do things you're afraid of.
Do things you're afraid of specifically. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I love it. Except, if you're afraid of going out in Medellin at 3 a.m. in the morning with a Rolex on your
head. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, maybe not.
Well, bro, where can people find you at? Like, the Entrepreneur House, your personal stuff like that? Because, like, if anybody's listening to this and, like, you're thinking about coming out here and you're not hitting up Thomas, like, there's no hope. Like, hit this guy up. Hit up the Entrepreneur House. Learn more about it. Where can people find you at?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Thomas Guy, which is Thomas Geib 42. And then the Entrepreneur House is just the entrepreneurs underscore house on Instagram as well.
Fire. Let's go, dude. Well, Thomas, it's been an absolute pleasure. This will always be one for the record books, literally the first episode. So when we look back on this after my 3 years in Medellin and we have it back on and a bunch of things have happened, dude, it's going to be a pleasure, bro. But I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come do this with me. And hope that people find some value from it. I know I did. I know I got a few things I'm taking away from this, bro. But
appreciate
you, brother. And We'll catch you at this mastermind February 13th, Medellin, Colombia.
Absolutely. See you there.